Dear Art, as usual, a really good program. How did your guest get started in this field? Larry in Miami, Florida. Well, Larry, as usual, the answer was in the first part of the program, and it was because of their very own haunted house. At any rate, we're going to try and bear down hard on your calls this hour. Dave and Jaron, are you there?
We are.
All right. Look, I would like to give you guys an opportunity to promote your book a little bit. If people wish to get Twilight Visitors, how many ghost stories are in here?
There are 70 ghost stories.
70?
And everyone's true.
And everyone's true. How would they get the book?
They can call 1-800-WEIRD-94.
Ha ha! 1-800-WEIRD-94. That's a pretty good number.
We thought so.
I take it that you established it in 1994.
Yes.
1-800-WEIRD-94. How much is your book?
$13.95.
Very reasonable indeed. How can you say, every one of these is true?
They're allegedly true. The stories that have been given to us are alleged to have happened to the individuals. And talking to the individuals, our feelings are that what has happened to them, because they get very serious. It's like the gentleman you called about that voice.
Right.
It's not something you forget.
Oh, no. I know. To me, it is a very serious subject, and I treat it seriously. A lot of people use this for a good laugh tagline at the end of a newscast or something. This is a very serious subject to me, as a matter of fact. All right, let's go back to the lines. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dave and Sharon. Hello.
Hello, Art. Let me turn the radio down. Here
Thank
we
you.
Go.
Do that. Tell
Art,
us, where are
show.
You? Yes. Where are you, sir?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
All right.
When I was about 13, not quite 14 years old, we had moved into a new neighborhood. And after living there about 2 weeks, I was walking home, and I was going up a street on my way home, and there was a house to my left, single-story house, and the lights, porch light was on, there were still curtains in the window, and I saw coming down the hill toward me what appeared to be a transparent lady. She had sort of a yellowish green glow to her.
Mm.
I remember her in exact detail, the hobble, how she hobbled as she walked, the type of dress she wore, how she wore her hair. And this woman walked around me in a circle 3 times, kind of hobbled. And I'm turning around, following her, and I'm in amazement. I'm thinking to myself, I'm wondering if this is what a ghost is supposed to be. Well, finally, the lady stops. She stares at me. She turns, hobbles up the hill, goes through the wall into the house. So the next day, I stop at my friend's house, and he's not there. But
Wait a minute. Did you say goes through the wall?
Went right through the wall.
Oh, okay.
Now, the thing is that my friend's aunt's house was, you know, right across the street from this place. When I told her what I saw, she was ironing clothes at the time, and she looked at me, and she gasped, and she said, "You're just trying to scare me." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Oh, that's right." She said, "Maddie died 2 weeks before you guys moved into the neighborhood." I described in complete detail the woman who had just died. Now, they hadn't settled the estate. And I kind of wondered for a long time why that might have happened, and I think I figured it out. Now, sometime after that, my younger brother fell in with some kids, and they got into trouble, and they broke into that house, and they stole some jewelry and stuff, and they were all caught, and it was all returned. The only thing I can think of is that maybe in wanting to protect her house, maybe she knew somehow or other that that was going to happen, or she feared it.
Sure.
And maybe she felt that I would tell other people what I had seen, and it would scare children away. But, of course, I never said anything to anybody.
Interesting. Again, typical, you two?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It shows very much a protective, you know. When an older lady passes on, she still is very concerned about her possessions, her home, her things, until they're resolved.
In other words, in the near afterlife, our concerns are very much like they were here.
Yeah, there's several stories we get where it's almost like when you die, you don't know you're dead. You know, you're still going on conducting your business as you would have normally.
That would be very confusing.
I'm sure, because if you watch and read a lot of stories have been documented where someone has died and has communicated with someone, or there's been a multi-car accident, and one has come back and the other ones have not, and they all say the same thing. They didn't realize they were dead. They couldn't believe it, couldn't accept it.
Maybe because of the instant nature of it.
I'm sure. You know, as far as passing through the house, you know, if there are electromagnetic energy field, why not? There's so much we do not understand about energy, you know, pure energy, that there's no way that we can get a handle on so much of this.
All right, let me ask either one of you about this. Would you say it is a good idea, doesn't matter, or a terrible idea to build a house on top of a graveyard?
A terrible idea.
I think you could probably expect about the worst. I know that out here in Oregon, a lot of places are built on Indian burial ground, sacred ground, and we don't know exactly where these places were, but the people whose homes are on this hallowed ground do experience some very strange phenomena.
Well, even worse than that, Noah, we had a nuclear plant built here along the Columbia River.
Oh, no.
By a major international company, and it was built on sacred Indian burial grounds.
Oh,
they hid the
no.
fact. And besides the fault line, we'll talk about that, but they excavated the bones and artifacts and kept it hid from the public. That nuclear facility is no longer online. It was plagued from the day one that it was built with problems, substandard material. It just had nothing but problems. It only ran for a couple of years before it was finally, you know, I mean, it would always be offline more than it was online. And, you know, I never really given it much thought to your question there. Perhaps by being built on the sacred burial grounds, there's a lot of restless spirits who really resented what was being done. I mean, you never can tell.
Well, it would seem a poor idea to me, and again, I'm going back to Poltergeist or Poltergeist 2, I can't recall. But it was awful. I remember the, you remember that one scene in the swimming pool?
Yeah.
I would never have made it out of the swimming pool. My heart would have stopped in there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dave and Sharon. Hi.
Hello, this is Fritz from Phoenix.
Hello, Fritz from Phoenix.
Well, mine is more like a statement. It's very unfortunate that we, the Western civilization, focus on the other side only on a large scale on Halloween. That's with fun and customs.
Ah, but Fritz, you know I do it all the time.
Well, yes, the Art Bell Show, but I'm talking the major part of our civilization.
It is true.
Yet,
no,
ghost,
that's a good point, Fritz.
But yet, ghost spirits on the afterlife, the way I see it, should be and will be in years to come, and I'm talking after the earth changes, that the subject will be handled like a daily weather report, very respectfully, because it's here and we have to deal with it.
Maybe they'll change the name from Nightline to Night Spirit. I don't know. He does really make a good point. I consider this to be a very, very serious topic, and I take it seriously. And as Fritz points out, the rest of the nation focuses in on, you know, Halloween one time a year, perhaps. And then there are
a holiday setting for them.
Yeah, and not really so much on the aspect that we cover, the real aspect of entities or ghosts or whatever they are. But sort of the dress up and go get candy aspect, or the let's go look at the fireworks. Well, that'd be 4th of July. But getting my holidays mixed up here. But the mask and the candy business and all the rest of it, instead of this aspect.
Well, you know, there's a different aspect of it over in the Orient, you know, where they honor their ancestors.
Yes.
And there are many of the Eastern folks over there. Asians that, you know, believe their ancestors are there with them.
Well, I lived on the island of Okinawa, and there is an interesting custom they have, which I got to participate in once, where at a certain time of the year, you go to a cave or a location, and you reverently clean the bones of your dead ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me ask again about the link between the place of burial and the entities. In other words, try not to build on top of a graveyard of some sort. Is it generally true that entities stay close to what was their body?
Well, you know, that's hard to tell because when you become a spirit, you know, you're outside of the realm of space and time we have it. You operate in a different environment. And whether they can be next to their bones and instantly they can be, you know, 1,000 miles away.
Yes.
We really don't know because there's so many that do come and go as transients and always in motion. But yet around graveyards, there is a lot of activities.
Yes.
And whether these are just the new ones that have come and haven't quite gained the knowledge they need to continue on, or whether they, because the graveyard is close to where their home and families are, they stay behind.
So it's hard to really know which.
It really, it's almost like talking about aliens.
Yeah.
You know, you have the different races you hear about, and you know, and some are good, some are bad, some are helpful. And
well, Dave, I'm not even sure, and Sharon, that there is a difference between what we're calling aliens and what you're calling ghosts.
In some cases, there may not be. They're on-scene entities or on-scene the twilight visitors who come and go. Some are helpful, and some, depending upon how they're helping you, some will call a guardian angel or a guardian spirit.
Well, might it not, though, depend on your perspective as an individual? Let us say you have an experience and you see an entity. Some people might come away from that and say, I saw an alien. I saw something not of Earth. And another person might come back and say, well, I saw a ghost, or I saw Aunt Mary, or
absolutely,
my grandmother, or whatever.
Absolutely. It is all a matter of a person's perspective, because we have stories of protective entities who've taken care of children, and yet some people would label them as guardian angels.
And yet you have others, like to this, like this energy vortex we'll send you a picture of.
Yes, sir.
I mean, my goodness, how can a ghost be like a funnel cloud? I mean, that you can understand a mist-like cloud or something, or fog, because that's been portrayed quite often. But a spin, a swirling funnel shape. Now, in the Liberty Theater, we captured on film there a reverse spin vortex, where it was, the spin was reverse of how it normally would be. And they, and it was like the letter U. It went down, over, and then back up again. Where this one we captured just last week starts from the floor and goes toward the ceiling, kind of bends along the way, but there's also a shadow that's cast from it.
When you have a photographic expert look at these, what do they say?
Well, when they look at it, the first reaction is that it's a chemical problem or a developing problem.
Yes.
Well, then we show them the negative. And you don't have, it's not characteristic of a chemical stain. Okay, it's right in the film itself. And you can see both the vortex, you can see a shadow. Where on a normal chemical stain from developing, it's quite apparent if you look at it.
All right, you two. Hold on just a moment. We will be right back to you. Dave Ester, Sharon Gill are my guests. They have written Twilight Visitors, a compilation of 70 true ghost stories. We'll be right back. If you feel the desire to control your own work hours, your work environment, be your own boss, choose your own work companions, then maybe you need to start your own business. Now, briefly, before the bottom of the hour, back to Dave and Sharon. Okay, you two, you're back on the air again.
Okay.
I'm glad that you are doing what you're doing. Very glad, because there are not enough people documenting this kind of thing. It's one of the reasons we put out the newsletter we do. You know, you talk about them on the radio, and it's great. It's the theater of the mind, and we can, you know, tell people about these things. But once you've laid your eyes on a photograph or had an actual experience, it's a whole new realm, isn't it?
It really is, and we really enjoy your newsletter, you know, because when you can visually observe an image, there's no doubt about what it is that you're looking at.
Well, if there is, there certainly is less doubt. I mean, words are one thing, photographs, magnetometer readings, they're something else again, and it's a particular area of interest to me, because I want to know, myself, as you two do, I'm sure, whether this life is it, and then it's the worms crawl in and the worms crawl out, or whether it doesn't matter and your spirit goes someplace else.
We both firmly believe that life goes on. It goes back to the law of physics.
You know, no energy can be destroyed.
Well,
only transformed. And so, and, you know, we, in the 70 stories we've collected, we're working on our second book, collecting stories. We probably got about as many stories right now as we have in the first book.
Wow.
But they're more in-depth stories. We're getting a lot of people contributing stories to us off the internet, sending the stories through the email.
All right. Well, we'll get your email address on the air. We're at the half-hour mark. This is Dreamland. All right. Back now to Dave and Sharon. Are you there?
We are.
Art, could you ask your guests whether they think it is possible that certain locations on Earth are innately paranormally energized, apart from any human influences, past or present?
Yes, absolutely.
In other words, energy, I don't know what you'd call them, energy points?
Yeah, grid points, energy points. Now you've got your famous ones like Sedona, you know, where it is reputed to be, a healing capital, or an energy dispersion point. There's quite a few of those places that just naturally radiates the energy of a very positive force.
You do like staying on the positive side of this, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You can see all kinds of Freddy Krueger movies on TV. We don't do those kind of stories. We do the kind of stories that you can sit and tell around a campfire and enjoy getting scared.
Well, that's interesting. I do enjoy. Have you studied at all why human beings enjoy scaring themselves so much? I wonder about it.
I know, but I got a letter, Art. This is from a funeral director back in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And he said, just in part, says, "I'm just glad that someone finally took me seriously. I don't know if you have any idea what the burden of disbelief can do to a person's life. He'd seen he'd heard a ghost, and no one would believe him. And being a funeral director, your first impressions would be, why would that be strange?"
Right. Well, sure.
At least I'd feel that way. And yet, to him, it was. And by being able to tell me a story, he actually felt better at it because someone took him seriously.
Well, it's cathartic, sure. I would think funeral directors would be particularly plagued or blessed, depending on how you look at it.
Well, there's one area in one of the towns that is located next to a funeral home, a neighborhood, and we've gotten three different stories from that neighborhood over the different period of time. From each house, you could throw a stone to the other houses.
Right.
And it's just above a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And we often wonder whether or not the entities and apparitions that have come to those people have come from the funeral home, or just that's a coincidence.
Interesting. Is there any difference, this is kind of a wild question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, in the hauntings that occur in cases where bodies are buried somewhere versus cremation?
I don't think so. That's just my personal opinion. Because whether you burn a body or whether it decays back to the earth, the energy, the essence made up of that individual is transformed from at death into whatever energy fields that exists. So that you cannot destroy the energy, matter. You only transform it to a different form.
So it's actually only the body that dies away.
And not the essence of the soul or the spirit doesn't die.
Well, if the spirit remains sometimes near the body, as in the case of a graveyard, would the spirit remain near the ashes in the case of an urn?
It could very well, because perhaps it's a resting place for memories. And perhaps that's all they are to the ghost, are memories of who they once were.
That may be.
Now, we did hear a tale about an inn in Long Beach, Washington, where there's a lot of ghostly activity, and the owner, the previous owner's urn with his ashes, still sits on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
That one we have yet to follow up on.
All right. Well, I'm sure. What do you do, by the way, on that score? I mean, people read your books, and then I take it they contact you, and they want you to come and investigate. What kind of criterion do you use in trying to decide, you know, we're going to take a trip to Pittsburgh and take a look at this house or whatever.
A lot of times we try to line up sightings in a general area that we're going to go to. Oftentimes it's a story. Is how compelling is it? In our book, in the last three chapters, you know, we talk about how to do your own ghost hunting, type of film to use, and all type of equipment you can use, hopefully to help others who want to explore the unknown to start out with. And it, you know, even if you can't buy some type of electromagnetic meter, you can start out with a compass. Essentially, the same thing will work for that.
In other words, if there is a sudden magnetic flux, the compass is going to be overwhelmed from its normal north pole look-see, and it's going to point in a new direction.
Yeah, and depending upon how much it points is how strong the field is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
not bad in the sense also that it would show you the direction of the magnetic radiation.
Yeah, and so you actually can home in, track it down, which is the same thing I do with magnetic meter. You have to, you know, keep moving around till you pick up a field and then home in on it. You do the same thing with a compass. And we talked about the type of films you can use to buy, and some are better than others. And the cameras themselves really doesn't make any difference. We've had the one lady who...
Well, let me stop you on that point. Let's say somebody wants to go ghost hunting. Would they be better with the higher ASA film, or what seems to work better in catching the image?
The higher the ASA they can go, the better. Now, we've tried as high as 3200 ASA black and white.
Right.
And I believe it was either the 3200 or the 1600 that we captured an image in the Liberty Theater. But Sharon also has captured it on ASA 400. We used infrared. We captured on that. But infrared is real difficult to work with,
mm-hmm.
and it's real difficult to get processed.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. I did want to get that cleared up. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dave and Sharon. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, where are you, sir?
I'm in Willoughby, Ohio. This is Les.
Okay.
And I wanted to say this is really an interesting program.
Thank you.
I have actually two questions for you, or one question and one story. I would really like to find a ghost, seriously. I mean, I might be crazy, but I really would like to do that. How do you go about finding someplace that's haunted?
Within our experience, we just started talking to people about our own experiences. And overall, I can honestly say that just about everyone we've talked to have had some type of experience. And we have made contact with people who have activity in their homes at the present time. And when we tell them what we do, they invite us to come into their home and see what we can find.
Well, that's because you guys write books about it, so you get contacts. But what about this fellow?
Actually, that was how we got started on our first book, was speaking of our own experiences with other people. And
I would say just go out and start asking people, friends and neighbors and relatives that you have in the area that you're in, if they've had any type of, unusual experiences or paranormal events have occurred in their home. And a lot of times older buildings will have it.
All right, there you are, caller.
Yeah.
In other words, ask friends.
All right, well, the only thing that I've ever had that would be quote-unquote a paranormal experience has happened to me three times. When my brother died, when my grandmother died, and my grandfather died. Each time when they died and I was asleep, I woke up immediately at the time that they died.
Knowing something?
Know that
or
they were at the time until I found out, you know, usually half an hour to 45 minutes later, someone would call me from the hospital and say, you know, so-and-so just died, you know, half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago. And so I'd really would like to
pursue it.
Yeah,
I've got you. And so that's good advice then for anybody.
Yes, it is. I just keep, when you start it, have an open mind and don't be judgmental. Don't judge what you observe, because we may not understand why they're performing it or why they're doing it. It's like you go overseas. You can't judge the culture that you visit by your own standards.
Boy, isn't that so.
You know, and that's one of the first things you have to learn. And I think they can sense that. If you're not coming on a judgmental attitude, but an openness, to understand, I think it opens the doors for you. I really do.
Or, and then you also stressed attitude. In other words, be respectful, be reverential, do not insult the entity.
Absolutely. The same way if you walked into, for example, the Alamo San Antonio.
Yes.
You know, there's no signs that's required, but you walk in there, and that's probably one of the most reverential places I've ever been in. You can hear a pin drop inside, and there are, 40, 50 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody feels that reverence is there, respecting what has occurred there.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dave and Sharon on Dreamland. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling from Seattle, Washington.
Yes, ma'am.
And Dave and Sharon, I thought I might let you know that I was in the basement of your 12th Avenue home in Seaside just today.
Oh. Is it still haunted?
And I, did you know that there were children that actually, it was children haunting the basement?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We had children down there.
Okay. Yeah, and I do apologize if you get a call from the new resident, because we were just going to Seaside, had stayed only 3 blocks from your house, had drove to Cannon Beach, picked up your book, and found it interesting, went back to Seaside just to look at the house down near the new residence outside. They do not know that it was haunted, and we showed them the book, their jaw dropped. They said, yes, that is our basement. So they took us downstairs. It's now a child's room.
Oh,
perfect. Good. Yeah, and they have not had any poltergeist activity there whatsoever. But maybe if they haven't heard of it, or maybe it's calmed down, or maybe if there's a child with the children, I don't know if that would make a difference.
Or maybe the entities left when Dave and Sharon did.
No,
they
did. Actually,
they
didn't.
Did.
And we do have pictures in the book of the people who moved in after us. They took pictures on Halloween night of their grandchildren dressed up. And they do have a film around them, a mist.
We did see those pictures in the book, yes.
I do.
And that story in there about having a low child's voice respond back to my question of whether my daughter was down in the basement.
Yes.
You know, it was just as real, it was a real little girl's voice.
We found this all very interesting because we picked up your book, read half of it, turned to our bell tonight, and then heard you. But we'd also like to say that we followed some of your stories, and we followed them all the way up to Astoria, where we did go to the Liberty Theater. And I do have to agree with you, and I have one question about the theater. I do feel things, and when I went into the theater, I felt 3 separate entities, and I was very scared. But the theater people were very nice and let us even sit in the seat where Lily was killed. I felt great anger in the room for us being there, and I left. Went upstairs and did feel something that I guess was Mary. I felt her about the point in the book that you said she'd be halfway up the ramp, but I had not read that yet in your book. And then when I read it, I realized that that was where you felt it too. We went back to take a picture of the bathroom, because we did take a picture of the theater. I was with my boyfriend. He asked that we go back. We went back, and I didn't feel her in the bathroom this time, but I did feel her behind me, and I did sort of hear voices. I'm wondering if there ever were voices heard from the entities that are in the Liberty Theater.
All right.
There are.
Oh, there are.
Yeah, they've heard voices. They haven't seen, I believe, in fact, they've seen all 3 of them, and they've heard voices at different times. But it's spooky when you go in there.
Definitely.
You can just feel it, all right. I know the feeling. I have never, I've seen one UFO. I have never seen a ghost. I have never seen an entity of any sort. But I would love to. So I'm in the category of that one man who called. And I am, I suppose, curious enough to follow up if there are any haunted houses out there. Or anybody who regularly gets a visit from a ghost, I would love to be contacted. All right. I want to remind everybody as well, tomorrow night on my regular syndicated program, we do something utterly different. It's called Ghost to Ghost. It, too, is a very, very serious approach to this whole matter of entities and ghosts. We do it every Halloween. It is not a joke show. It's not a fun show. I'm not going to be putting in a bunch of little sound effects and all the rest of it. We take a very serious, I take, and expect you to take a very serious approach to these matters. They are serious, because I believe they are real. So if you're interested, don't forget, tomorrow night, Ghost to Ghost AM. That's about as much humor as you're probably going to find in it. It is, however, frightening. And for some reason, we human beings really enjoy scaring the hell out of each other. So it's a great opportunity for that. You guys, I want to give you a chance. The moments are closing. Twilight Visitors is the name of your book. Ghost Tales, 70 of them right now. How do they get the book? One more time.
They will call 1-800-WEIRD-94. And we'd also like, if any of the listeners have stories, we'd like, if they'd like to share them with us, we'd be more than happy to consider them in our next book.
And where would they send them?
They can send them to Post Office Box 976, St. Helens, S-H-E-L-E-N-S, Oregon, and the zip is 97051.
Wonderful.
Or if they're on email, they can email me the story at starwest, as one word, at a1.com.
Starwest at a1.com.
Right.
Well, it has been a pleasure having you both on, and I like the approach you take to the topic. It's a good hands-on, hardware kind of approach, and we will do another show, all right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
Thank you both, and good night from the high desert. Well, there you are. Dave, Esther, Sharon Gill, Twilight Visitors. Now, again, I want to say this because it is deadline time right now. If you want our newsletter where you will continually see this kind of thing documented, I'm very intent on that, so that you don't have to just believe what I'm telling you. You can see for yourself. Art Bell After Dark, the newsletter. It's got to be ordered before the sun comes up in the morning. It's not after dark then, you see. The deadline is now. 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. From the high desert near Dreamland, good night.
This has been Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped. Yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. Please join us again next week at this time for Dreamland.